All right, let's look in 1 Peter, 1 Peter chapter 3. First Peter chapter 3. Week before last, I think it was, we took a visit to Sycamore Street and saw Zacchaeus. This week we're going to go down the other end of Sycamore Street to the psychiatrist's office. You didn't know there was a psychiatrist's office on the same street that Zacchaeus lived on, but you're going to take a visit there this morning. Amen? A lot of folks need a psychiatrist this day and time. Amen? That's what it sounds like to me. So we'll make a visit there this morning. 2 Peter, or 1 Peter chapter 3, and we're going to start reading in verse number 8. And it starts off this way, just like all preachers, finally. And then he goes and talks for 2.5 more chapters. Ain't that interesting? Amen? I found that one spot. I don't know exactly where it is right off the top of my head, but Paul says finally 2 or 3 times in one of his epistles, and I don't know if he was confused or led by the Holy Ghost. I don't know what it was, but I know a lot of Holy Ghost-led preachers will tell you, I'll be done in 15 minutes. Yeah. And that never is the case, is it? Amen. If a preacher says one more point and I'll let you go, it's going to be at least 40 more minutes before you get to go home. Amen. Yeah. So the best thing is just not to say nothing. Amen. Just let it come out when it comes out. Amen. Give nobody no false hope. Amen. All right. So he says, verse 8, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful. Be courteous. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrarywise, blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called, that ye should inherit a blessing. Lord, we do thank you this morning for your goodness and for your grace. We ask you to meet with us this morning. Strengthen us, oh God, to preach your word and to hear your word. And God, we pray that we could be doers of the word and not hearers only. Help us to get revival, God. And I know we're here at the end of the week and folks are tired. And Lord, much studies of weariness to the flesh. And Lord, we've been to your house every night and heard the word of God. And Lord, I know some folks are very tired, but I pray, God, you'd help us to rise to the day, God, and help us to hear from you. We'll thank you and praise you, God, for everything that you do. In Jesus Christ's name we pray it. Amen. Amen. All right, he says here in verse number 8, finally be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. And I tell you, it'd be very hard to get revival without being of one mind. Book of Acts tells us a couple of times, said they were all of one accord. A lot of times people say, well, I'd like to be in a situation like the book of Acts where they'd have 2,000 or 3,000 saved at one time and all that stuff. I don't know if you would or not if you've ever dealt with people very much. Having nobody and then having 3,000 folks to deal with all at one time might drive you crazy. And I said we are going to talk to the psychiatrist this morning. I believe these apostles and prophets be just as good a psychiatrist as anybody that ever went to school to do it. Amen. Amen. Amen? Amen. Especially if you see what they're teaching in school. In one class, they're teaching you used to be a monkey, and then another class, they're teaching you how to give somebody else peace of mind. I don't believe anybody that come from a monkey could give you no peace of mind. Amen. Amen. I don't believe that at all. Amen. I believe if you're going to find peace of mind, you're going to find it at the same place it's always been found. And the old song says, I keep going back to the well of grace. And that's the only place that any peace has ever been found. Amen. If 1,000 years ago you had to find peace with God, then that's still where you're going to have to find it at. Amen. And so I suppose Simon Peter would be just as good a psychologist as anyone you ever went to see. Amen. Psychiatrist, whatever the case might be. But he says, finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. That'd solve a lot of your problems right there if you just get a little compassion. The question must have been asked at some time because God gave the answer. I suppose if God gave the answer, then somebody was asking the question about how to help people, how to minister to people. And on the one hand, God said some save with fear, pulling them out of the fire. And then on the other hand, he said some have compassion, making a difference. I guess God knows what he's talking about. better than any preacher, amen. Yeah. Folks say you got to get in touch with folks' feelings and all this kind of stuff. And I'm glad that we got a high priest, and he understands the feelings that we're afflicted with and touched with. And but I tell you this, the Lord gave us those feelings, amen. Gave them to us, whether it's anxiety or whatever the case might be, the Lord hardwired that stuff into us, and so I suppose he knows how to take care of it, amen. If he bore our griefs, then I'm sure that he'd tell us how to handle those things whenever they come about, amen. And I'll just tell you this morning, just to start off with, he says, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another. I've been in church, I guess, since 1974. Miss Lackey picked us up on the van, started carrying us to church. And our family been in church ever since. I've seen a lot of people come and go, seen a lot of problems, seen all kinds of things in the church, seen church splits and people leave church by the dozen, seen a lot of stuff like that over the years. And most of the time it's because people not trying to understand one another, have compassion on one another, get hard towards one another, get lifted up in their own mind. And I tell you, you're about to bump your head when you get an attitude like that, amen? You get to where you can't see anything or see any reason. Somebody just say a crossword to you. Well, they must hate my guts and they don't want to be around me. Now, maybe they got some things going on in their own life, amen? Oh, brother so-and-so didn't shake my hand. Well, maybe his hand's hurting, amen? Pray for him. Maybe he's got something on his mind besides you. I know you ain't got nothing on your mind besides you, but other people, they got some other things on their mind besides you, amen, every once in a while. Folks got problems and troubles and trials. Well, you don't know what I'm going through. Well, everybody on the planet going through what you're going through. People get the idea sometimes. Hey, you don't know what I'm going through. Everybody knows what you're going through. Everybody, everybody, everybody. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. Everybody knows what you're going through. I know you feel like you're all alone when you're going through what you're going through, but you're not. It hurts you. It's real to you. Nobody's making a light of you. Nobody's trying to take anything away from what you're going through, but everybody knows what you're going through. But everybody don't have that unlimited knowledge to know what you're going through. Don't get bent out of shape at one another. Pray for one another and lift one another up. And when somebody don't shake your hand or maybe they're a little bit short with their answers towards you, hey, pray for them. Ask God to help them, amen. Because I tell you this, as a church, you'll be better with them than without them. And I know there's probably an exception to the rule. I know there are troublemakers. And sometimes it's all right to let people go from a church situation. The Bible says that there's sometimes we need to separate ourselves from other folks, contrary to popular belief. Some folks say you ought to put up with everything and everybody. That ain't true. Some people not only need to go, they need to be thrown out the front door. Amen? That's just true. Whether you like it or not, you might be too silly or too caught up in days of our lives to realize stuff like that. But there's a real world out here outside of TV, and some people just need to go. Amen. Sometimes churches, you know, in order to make more grapes on a grapevine, you trim it back. You don't let it grow and grow and grow and grow and grow. You trim it back a little bit. Amen. Well, that's absolute truth. But having said that and having recognized, see, I don't want to be called a compromiser. You just accept it. Don't want to go down that road. Don't want to go that route. But I do want to let you know that a lot of problems that keeps churches from revival just folks don't have no compassion on one another. And so what's this got to do with the psychiatrist? That's what's going on up in your head. The Bible says that folks ought not to think of themselves more highly than they ought to think. And I don't think at the same time you ought to think less of others than you ought to, amen? The Bible says let each esteem others better than themselves. And if we had some of that, and I believe compassion fits in there someplace. When you talk about thinking about others better than yourself, I think compassion fits right there, don't you? I think that'd be sound theology to think that way. And if a lot of us thought that way, boy, we'd have better churches. And we have more powerful churches, amen? We certainly would. And what we need in this day and time, more than anything else is a powerful Trump, is a powerful church, amen? And we could do without Trump and we could do without Obama if we had powerful churches, amen? Amen. I've said this before and I say it again, and I don't have any problems with this. I don't know what you think about politics, and I really don't care what you think about politics, but I think God gave us folks like Obama and all these folks that want to take from you and give to somebody else. I think God gave us that for the same reason God gave Israel Nebuchadnezzar, amen? They wasn't doing what they were supposed to do as God's people, so God put somebody else over them, amen? I believe in personal liberty. I believe in all that stuff. But if Christians don't do, we say we're a Christian nation. Yeah. I'm not going to say I agree with you on that. But we as Americans say that we're a Christian nation, and I don't think there's any other characteristic that ought to shine as much in our lives as being Christians as just to be givers. Amen. So sometimes God takes somebody, put them over, and make you give. Amen. That's a good possibility. It's better than the possibility you come up with. Amen. So I'll just throw that out there. But what it is, a lack of compassion. You see your brother in need and shut up your bowels of compassion. How dwells the love of God in you? That's what the Bible says. And I tell you, in the Baptist church today, in the church today, Baptist or whatever other brand you want to put on it, in the church today, we're sorely lacking compassion. Everybody looks at one another and, well, he's the problem right there. Well, that may very well be true. It's not hard to spot the problem, is it? Some of you wives been spotting the problem, amen, for 20, 30 years. You're good at spotting the problem. Amen. Some of you fellas been spotting the problem since you got married. You don't do it like mama does it. You didn't marry your mama, amen? You married a completely different person. But at any rate, we're good at spotting folks' problems. We're just not good at coming up with any solutions. Amen. Amen. If anybody ought to have solutions, I think it's Christians. You saved, born again, washed in the blood, been set free, all that stuff you shout and raise your hands and holler about and run the bases. Amen. Well, you ought to be a good problem solver then. Amen. You ought to have some solutions. Oh, I'm saved, I'm saved, I'm saved. Well, good, I'm glad you're saved. Now we ought to be able to have some compassion on one another, amen? What's this got to do with psychology? You're driving yourself crazy thinking about yourself. That's what's going on. That's what's going on. I'm not guessing about what's going on. I'm not really maybe, well, perhaps this might be one of your problems. Your problem is that you're thinking too much about yourself and it's destroying you. And I got news for you. It's going to keep on destroying you. It's going to keep on pulling you down until you've quit. And while you've quit, you've blamed everybody else except for the rascal that's in charge of all the devil meant, you. Amen. You. It's you. It's you, amen. It's you. Finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion of one another, love as brethren. Amen. Now, once in a while, you can fight with a brother. Amen. I got two brothers I growed up with. I got a couple of half-sisters that I haven't seen too much. But me and my brothers, my half-brothers, I got one full brother and one half-brother. We grew up in the same house, and we was apt to fight. But I wasn't apt to take your side against one of them. Amen. Amen. Oh, that'll preach right there whether you know it or not. I fight with my brothers, but if you begin to fight with my brothers, I'm going to begin to fight with you. I'm going to take my brother's side against you if you're right or wrong. Amen. Yep. Well, your brother did this or that. I would even extend that out to cousins, amen? One time my little cousin come to me. I say, little, he's the same age, maybe a little bit older than me. And he said, boy, Daddy told me if I fought, he wasn't going to give me that Chevrolet. And he had a 60-something other Chevrolet pickup truck sitting in the yard, and that was going to be his truck. And his daddy held it over his head until he got old enough to get it, and then he didn't give it to him. But anyway, sometimes daddies are that way. But he said, boy, if I get in a fight, he said, boy, my daddy ain't going to give me that Chevrolet. And he said, boy, I tell you what, I don't want to mess that up. I'd like to have that truck. But this fellow over here in the shop class, he'd give me a hard time. And I said, oh, we'll take care of that right away. And I caught him in the hall between the classes and punched him right in the mouth. And, boy, I felt good about it. Amen. You say, why? Because that's my cousin. Amen. I have felt bad about some of the scraps and scrapes I've been in my lifetime, but I didn't feel bad about that one. Ain't never felt bad about that one, and ain't going to feel bad about it, amen? Not going to feel bad about it at all. Says, why? Because that fellow was messing with one of my family members, amen? And here he says, love as brethren. As far as I was concerned, little old Brian Easter, he was my brother just as much as my own brothers was, and I was ready to get in a scrap for him, amen? But the Bible tells us as Christians to love as brethren. And if somebody come around and whispered in your ear just a little bit, hey, that fella you going to church with over there, he ain't no good. Well, you keep your mouth off of him, amen? Amen. Hey, that preacher over there, he ain't doing, you keep your mouth, you ain't coming to church. You ain't reading your Bible. What do you know about what some Christian ought to be doing? Amen? Amen. You say, well, don't you believe people ought to be, you know, fairly straight, and they ought to live good. I do believe they ought to live good Christian life. They ought to be right about what they preach and teach. They ought to be right about a lot of things. But if you ain't living for God, you keep your mouth off of them.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Oh, Brother Mike, did you hear what so-and-so said the other night when he preached? Yeah, I heard what he said when he preached, but I heard what you didn't say when you didn't preach, so you shut up. Amen. The great solution for taking care of all these bad preachers we got today is you do better.
Amen, brother.
But see, you're not worried about what the church is getting or the quality of preaching. That you're not worried about that. Something's wrong with you. Something's wrong in your mind. Y'all just keep watching the watch here as it swings back and forth. We're seeing the psychiatrist today, amen? Some of you may as well try hypnotism. You've been to the altar 100 times, and that ain't worked yet. What's it going to take? Amen. Amen. What's it going to take? What's it going to take to get some compassion instead of hate and bitterness and all that stuff? Yeah. Where's it at, man? Where's, folks, I mean, I don't know what it's been. I told you this last week. I started going to White Plains in 1974, and it was well after the year 2000 that I ever heard anybody preach a message about depression. And I know they didn't invent it in the year 2000. They didn't invent depression in the year 2000. It wasn't just like AIDS and popped up one day. No, sir, that'd been around a long time. The Bible says he bore our grief. I think that's what he's talking about. When you folks, you know what? I tell you, I looked up the word depression one day, you know, with WebMD or something like that, and I began to read what the symptoms of depression was. And lo and behold, if you take your Bible and read it right alongside that WebMD definition of what depression is, it sounds like conviction of the Holy Ghost to me. Sound like folks under conviction.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Amen. Amen. Yep. I guess we're talking about getting your mind right this morning, but it'd be pretty good to get your heart right. Your mind will get in line. Yep. I believe that with all my heart, Chris. I believe if you get your heart right, your mind will get in line. You say, how do you know that? Because the Bible tells us that when we got saved and redeemed and washed in the blood, he gave us the power of a sound mind. And not only that, not only did he give us the power of a sound mind, he gave us the mind of Christ. That's got to be worth something. It's got to be worth something. Got to be worth something. I know it's worth something, amen, because I live inside my own mind. I know what a jungle it is to mess around in the mind of a human being, a man. I don't even like the word human being. A man. God made a man, amen. But what I'm trying to get across to you this morning is your mind can be fixed. It can be fixed, amen? Now, you and your doctor may have some kind of special arrangement where you get your pills and all that kind of stuff. That's between you and him. But if you ever decide to get between you and God, let me know, because the Bible's got some answers for you. I'm not saying there's never any reason. I know most of you got chemical imbalances and stuff like that. You've been on meth and heroin and stuff like that half of your life. You probably do need a pill of some kind.
Yep. Yep.
Amen.
Yep.
Oh, Brother Mike, you're going to hurt somebody's feelings. Listen, you hurt my feelings.
Yep.
How about that?
Yep.
You hurt my feelings, amen? You say, why? Because you got a God that loved you and saved you just like you are. He saved you when you was an old dope head.
Yep.
He forgave you of being that. He forgave you of being that. He saved you while you was a drunkard. He saved you while you was abusing that body. Amen? Well, listen, the wages of sin hadn't changed since you got saved. And I'll be the first one that'll admit to you, I pray for crop failure. We're talking about reaping what you sow. I pray God be merciful to me. And I pray God be merciful to you. But I tell people this, and I don't have any drawbacks from it. I believe you ought to have just enough regret in your life to keep you from going back and doing some of that stuff. You say, well, when God saved me, he took away all my regret. I'm thankful he didn't take away all mine, boy, because I still have enough shame left over from what I was doing before. I don't want to go back and get involved with that stuff. And I tell you, when my mind gets clogged up and when my mind gets clouded over with some of that stuff, I go to God and tell him, God, I deserve this. And boy, if it wasn't for your grace, I'd be worse than this. So I'll just accept this and help me get through it. And God helps me get through it. Amen. Somebody run up to me after a sermon one day and said, boy, you better not jump on depression. You'll get depressed. Too late, bud. Been depressed for 40 years already. Amen. Listen, there's nobody on this planet that don't go through stuff like that. But we got God that's still the answer for that kind of stuff. He'll give you the victory over that stuff. And if you're sitting there mad, if you're sitting there bitter, God will help you with that too. And he's the only one that can help you through it. Amen. Amen. I read about there's no simple answer, I don't guess. But I was reading in my Bible last night, the book of Acts, and looking through some things there. Acts chapter 28, they're shipwrecked. They get tossed up on an island. Some barbarians. Barbarians sometimes better than Christians. They took in those folks and helped them out and gave them a place. They were warm and all this stuff. And Paul was carrying a load of sticks, and the snake come out there and bit him. And those people, you know, they said, well, this guy must be a murderer because he's escaped the sea. Now this viper's done bit him, so he must be very bad, must be a bad guy. And when they looked and he didn't swell up or die, they said, no, he must be a god. Back and forth on their opinions about one another, amen. They said something that'll preach in that too. But you know what Paul did when he got snake bit? I take that snake bite as what we go through in life. It's some kind of trouble, some kind of hardship. And a lot of folks just got snake bit and they swelled up and died. They ain't got over it. Something might have happened 20 years ago and they're still swelled up and dead about some old snake bite. You know what Paul did with that snake? The Bible says he shook it off. He shook it off in the fire, amen? The Bible says our God is a consuming fire. Our God is a consuming fire. And what you need to do about some of this stuff that's still in your mind is just shake it off. That preacher hurt my feelings. Shake it off.
Amen.
Oh, that old fool. No, he's not the fool. You're the fool. You're the one still worried about it. Amen. Person that hurt your feelings, they ain't worried about it, obviously. Amen. Oh, well, they did come by and apologize. Well, you're the sinner. If they apologize, you probably said, oh, well, I forgive you, brother. You know, Christians are that way. They get an emotional service. They'll go hug somebody's neck. Brother, I'm sorry. I had aught against you, but they ain't sorry, and they're not trying to get that thing right. They're trying to sponge off of one another's emotions or something, because 10 years later, you're still bitter over it. Preachers are that way. Church members are that way. Deacons are that way. Husbands and wives are that way. You said you're sorry, and the other one said, I forgive you, but y'all still brooding about it. You want to see somebody brood, just let a preacher get his feelings hurt, poor little bottle baby. Listen, you're the watchman, preachers. You're supposed to be the watchman, preachers. Well, guess who gets the arrows first when the enemy comes? Some of you signed up for pulpit duty. You didn't sign up for preaching, really, or being a watchman, amen? You're going to get hurt if you get in the ministry. You're going to get hurt. I don't care. I don't care if it's missions or pastoring or evangelism or singing or whatever you're doing. You're going to get hurt one of these days. You better learn to shake it off.
Amen.
You say, what happens if you don't shake it off? It end up messing with your psyche.
Yes, sir.
That's kind of a gay word to me, but I got to figure out how to talk to you somehow or another. Amen. You understand that kind of talk. Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen. That's absolutely right. He says, be ye of one mind. Be ye all of one mind. Be ye all of one mind. Having compassion one of another. Love as brethren. Be pitiful. That don't mean you. That means somebody else. Most people are already pitiful, but they're on the wrong end of pitiful. Oh, pity me. You may or may not be worthy, but this ain't the side he's talking about. He's talking about be full of pity for other people. Amen. You probably do got it bad. I'm not taking that away. I learned a long time not to minimize stuff that people's going through, but somebody somewhere is going through it worse than you are, and they're probably not very far from you. Oh, yeah, Brother Mike, somebody over there in Africa, they probably do got it worse than me. Now, somebody probably sitting less than 10 feet from you probably got it worse than you do. You know what's a shame in this country right here is that we got mamas and daddies that's so focused on themselves that they don't realize they got little 12-year-old boys and girls sitting right there on the pew beside of them that's probably going through junk you ain't never even imagined. Ain't never even imagined. Amen? And we get so spun up with stupid stuff. I've done it myself. You've done it yourself. You know what I was thinking one day? I used to be pretty hard on games and stuff like that. Boy, I'll tell you what you teenagers' problem is. It's that PlayStation. I got to think about, you preacher, you kids spending all them hours. Well, listen, back in the 70s, your mom and dad spent hours on the checkerboard. It's a game. Listen, your kids got far more problems than a PlayStation. I recognize there's a material and all that kind. I recognize that. I understand that. But your kids, man, the stuff your kids are going through deserves 10 times more compassion than the stuff you're going through right now, mama and daddy. It's time to grow up. Hey, mamas and daddies, you're 21, 22, 23, you got kids and stuff like that, 30 years old, got kids. Listen, it's time for you to grow up. You're going through stuff. I realize that, but you're a big girl now, and that little 12-year-old girl, she don't know how to process that stuff like you do. Time to grow up, amen. And we'd have more of that if we had compassion. Amen. You and your feelings, your big toe, somebody ought to just jump up and down on it for a while. You need to get your priorities straight. That's what needs to go on. Amen. 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 That's right. Be pitiful, be courteous, not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but got to get even. Compassion don't teach us to get even. Amen. The Lord said, He said, I will recompense, saith the Lord. The Lord will fight for you if you'll let him. If you'll get out of the way and let him. Amen. If you'll get out of the way and let him, he'll take care. Well, brother so-and-so hurt my feelings. Let the Lord take care of that. Let the Lord take care of that. Let the Lord take care of that. He will take care of it. Oh, you listen. Christians don't even know. It's hard for us to even imagine this day and time. But we actually do serve a God who is ready to revenge every disobedience. He said, hey, you just do what I tell you to do. And don't get caught up with who's following you or anything like that. You just do what I tell you to do. And he said, I'm ready to revenge every disobedience. That means God, if somebody gets mad and storms out, don't run out there and try to placate them. Let them go out there and meet God. Amen? Somebody, one of your Christian brothers and sisters that sit next to you on the pews, they're doing you wrong. Pray for them. Let God handle it. Let them meet God about the thing. If you quit getting in the way, you see, you ball up your fist and raise your hand in the air and something bad happens to them, see, they'll end up fearing you. They'll think you done it. Many a preacher stood in the pulpit and raised his fist in the air and said, you better get right with God, and kept harping on things. And if God ever done something to that person for doing their wrong, they thought, well, that preacher called down a curse on me or something. No, that was God. So you need to give God the glory for stuff like that. I can't command lightning bolts or thunder and lightning or nothing like that. All I can do is preach. And if you agree, God will bless you. And if you don't agree, God will get you. And I ain't got nothing to say about it, except for I wished it wouldn't have happened. Now listen, when I was growing up, and I've got preacher heroes, but I'll tell you this, when I was growing up as a boy, Preacher Lackey would talk about, and usually during the invitation time, he'll say, oh, so-and-so was here, and when they didn't do right, they went out there, and God did such and such to them, and there's always a different story to go along with it. But I always kind of thought along the lines of being afraid of the preacher. And I always took it along the lines of he's saying that God's behind him, and if you don't do what he says, then God's going to kill you or something like that. That's the way I took it. Whether he meant it that way or not, that's the way I heard it. And the Lord said, be careful how you hear. I might have heard it wrong. He might have been saying it wrong. I don't know. I don't know this, but I know this. We're supposed to fear God, not man. Amen. So I just preach and try to do right and let the chips fall where they may. I don't want you to fear me. I want you to fear God. And don't want you to fear no man. But what I'm trying to get across to you is some people act like they can't go on serving God unless everybody else is in agreement with them. Had many people say, well, I don't agree with what you said. Okay. I'm teachable. Break out your Bible. Amen. Flesh and blood, just like you, able to be wrong, just like you. I'm not going to spend the next 10 years. Oh, brother so-and-so disagreed with what I said. Not going to beat myself up over it, amen. I think Brother Jesse probably don't appreciate me using that microphone as a club. Oh, he didn't see it, did he? I told on myself. Sorry about it, Jesse. I repent. Amen. No, I appreciate it. Y'all don't know me and Brother Jesse's actually Catholic, but we're plants. We forgive one another's sins and all that. Not rendering evil for evil or railing for railing, but contrarywise blessing, knowing that ye are thereunto called. Christians, you're called to a blessing, not bitterness. I mean, you're not called to be, well, you know, I guess God just gave me this depression. It's one of the things I got to bear. No. No, that's not what he did. That's not what he did. So when you're talking about thorns in the flesh, you're talking about physical maladies. God didn't give you depression as a thorn. The state of mind in a Christian depends on his relationship with Christ. The fruit, listen, you're talking about if Jesus gave it to you, what you're ultimately talking about is a fruit of the Spirit. But God didn't give us grief as a fruit of the Spirit. He gave us love and joy and peace and long-suffering and gentleness and kindness. And if that stuff ain't there, something's wrong, my friend. Don't care what your favorite preacher says about that. Amen. There's consequences in this life. I don't care what your favorite preacher says about that. One time I was turning on the YouTube and I wanted to watch some preaching. I found this sermon. It was called Preaching 101. I thought, well, hey, we'll just start right there. It was this stuff, and I probably shouldn't have listened, but the guy sounded kind of interested when he started talking. And come to find out later, it was T.D. Jakes' ministry. Now, don't get excited. Brother Mike not backing T.D. Jakes in any way, shape, or form. It only sounded good to begin with, like it did when you started listening to some of that junk. It just caught you in the net. If you're going to listen to stuff on the internet, God, I hope you've got some discernment. But at any rate, this fella, he's talking about how bad these Bible believers is. His name is Noel Jones. I hope he ain't one of your, I hope you ain't one of his fans or followers on whatever you're watching this day and time. But at any rate, he's talking about how to preach, and he's talking all the bad stuff, and every bad stuff he gives is a Bible-believing method. You shouldn't do it this way. Well, that's the way we do it. And you shouldn't do it that way. Well, that's the way we do it. And you shouldn't get on to folks. And he's saying all this stuff that's bad about Bible-believing preachers, basically, is what he's saying. And I went on and listened to it and listened to it and listened to it, And after a while, I thought, what am I listening to this junk for? Amen. They panned across, and I think I saw T.D. Jakes there in the congregation. I said, this ain't my crowd right here. And I thought maybe like some of you probably think when you're watching pornography, I shouldn't be doing this. But you know, I kept watching and kept watching and kept watching, and all of a sudden he's really talking bad about Bible believing. I mean, just he's not calling anybody my name. He's just putting down the way we do things. And right as he was talking bad about some of that stuff, really making a point he thought was a good point about how we're messing up as preaching the truth, the camera flashes across the crowd and just focuses right on some of you favorite, independent, fundamental, wannabe, old-fashioned Dean McNeese sitting there in the middle of the, shaking his head up and down. Mm-hmm. And then, see, that answered a question for me, because I've been all over the place and them camp meetings down south, everywhere you go, you know, you hear these preachers, well, don't say this bad and don't say that bad. And, well, I tell you what, you talk bad when people quit tithing. Now, you gave up preaching against cigarettes, but you didn't give up preaching against tithing. Boy, y'all better give. Well, I said all that to say this. Preachers get infected with that stuff. And then next thing you know, everybody that's saved and been going to these camp meetings and everybody that likes it, when you start railing on preachers on Facebook, all you got to do is click on them. And you can see the problem, amen? If I was at the George Jones concert last night, I'd have a problem with the preacher too. The problem ain't, listen, the problem ain't your Christian brother and sisters, and it ain't your pastor that's preaching hard on sin. That's not the problem. The problem is nobody's repenting, getting right with God, and getting away from that stuff that's killing. And that stuff is still in your mind, and it still has the same result that it used to have back in the 70s and back in the 80s, amen? And sin caused division, and sin caused depression, and sin caused all that stuff. It still caused it today. Don't care if you agree with that or not. That's what the Bible says. Mm-hmm. That's truth. And Jesus is still the answer for that. And a lot of times, listen, the solution doesn't come necessarily from getting it right. Sometimes it comes from submitting yourself to God. A lot of times preachers trying to solve people's problems. That's not necessarily the calling of the preacher. The calling of the preacher is to get folks to submit themselves to God. Whatever God's plan is for that particular person. You know what? I'm a fleshly man and a sinful man. But I found out submitting myself to God solves problems like you wouldn't believe. Sometimes you just go to God and say, now, God, I know this is wrong, but I don't want to quit. Just be honest with it. Did you say, Brother Mike, did you ask God to help you to want to quit? No, because I don't want to quit. But see, you've got to be honest with God right up front and say, I don't want to quit this. And then God knows you're honest. But see, I'm submitting myself to God, and God will start helping me. Amen? Amen. You say, what are you talking about? Talking about getting your mind right. Now look at I'm going to quit right here, but look what it says in verse 10. He that will love life and see good days. Don't say take a pill, does it? It says, let him refrain his tongue from evil. Did you know that tongue, the Bible says it's set on fire hell. You know that'll set your mood for the day? It'll set your mood for the day. There ain't no use in trying to go to church and get a blessing after you've done disagreed with the preacher all day. I'll tell you another thing that's really, it's really and truly a real thing. It's really and truly a real thing. Kind of double speak here. Back in the early 2000s, me and my wife went to Georgia to pastor a church, and we had a family there in the church, and that fellow would go home in the evening time after church or in the afternoon time, and he'd tell his kids, that preacher's stupid. That preacher don't know what he's talking. We love Brother Mike. but he don't know what. See, that's the way people talk. He's wrong about this, and he's wrong about that. And he's now what happened is that little 11-year-old girl growed up to be an 18-year-old girl and uncontrollable. Come by the house, Brother Mike, can you go talk to her? No. Don't you love people? Hey, there ain't no use in me going and talking to her after you done told her I'm stupid. You say, what set the tone? Your tongue. He that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil. Is that what it says or ain't it? That's what it says. You can get up and reason yourself around that and come up with all kinds of stuff. And I know there's probably exceptions to the rule, but most of the time when you're dealing with something in church, I'm talking about Christians that can't serve God because they're in the depths of despair and grief. There is something wrong, and you better get it right before it kills you. You better get it right before it kills you. You better get it right before it kills you. I wish we could go on and on and on and talk about Jonah. You know, Jonah's one of the only preachers, one of the only servants of the Lord, if you can call him that, which I don't have no problem calling him that. But Jonah's one of the only servants of the Lord that didn't find joy in serving the Lord. And he did that because he was doing it against his own will, couldn't find any joy. And some of you are still serving God against your will. You're still back in the mode of you was lost and you're under conviction about a thing. But listen, you got saved. You can move on from that. You don't have to do this or that because you have to. Now you can serve out of love now. You don't have to tithe because you're afraid God's going to bust one of your tires. Listen, you can tithe and your tire's going to bust anyway. Man, don't tithe because you're afraid God's going to break your vehicle down. Man made that vehicle. It's going to break down. I remember when I first went down there to PBI, somebody said, here, get you some of these stickers and stick them all over your car. Your car won't break down. I'm like, three quarters of the car in this parking lot broke down. That ain't true. Just ain't true. Christians serving now because they're afraid not to serve. That don't cause the joy of the Lord. It causes grief. Why you think the Pharisees was in such a bad mood? When the Lord showed up, they've been serving for self-justification for the last 1,000 years. It don't produce joy. Oh, I wish we could go on and on this morning, but we've got to stop right here. Lord, we thank you, God, for your goodness and your mercy. And I pray you would help us. And God, I don't make light of anybody's state of mind, God. I don't make light of it all, but I pray you'd shed light on it. I pray you'd shed light on it. And I pray, oh God, you'd help them because we can't go on in the state that we are. And we can't go on without having compassion of one another. And I believe that's a mental state. I believe that's a state of mind with all my heart. I pray you'd help us to love one another with a pure heart fervently. And I thank you, God, for all you do. In Jesus Christ's name I pray it. Amen.